بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، we just read a few pages before where we stopped the last time, some time ago. The heading of this paragraph is the glad tidings to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned during the final illness, إِنَّهُ لَيُهَوِّنُ عَلِيَّ أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ بَيَاذَ كَفِّ عَيْشَةَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, indeed, it brings me ease and comfort that I had seen the fairness of the palm of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in Jannah. So Allah ta'ala giving glad tidings for the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, indeed, it brings me ease and comfort that I had seen the fairness of the palm of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in Jannah. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, لَوْ يُهَوِّنُ عَلَيَّ الْمَوْتَ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُكِ زَوْجَتِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That the fact that I saw you as my wife in Jannah has made that easy for me. So we can see the amount of muhabbat, compassion and the warmth between Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Yeah, what glad tidings for her. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling her, oh Aisha, just getting to know that you'll be my wife in Jannah makes more easy for me. So we can understand now that how far our homes are from the homes of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the homes of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, where right now in the Ummah we find that either the man is waiting to get out of the marriage or the woman is getting out. Either he's like this or she's like that. A very, very important point ulama mentioned, when it comes to our marriages, especially now, keep in mind this point also. We find in chapters, in hadith kitabs, it's called manaqib. Manaqib of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. You have manaqib Abu Bakr, manaqib Umar, manaqib Uthman, manaqib refer to the fadail, the virtues of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned their virtues. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his virtue, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Salman, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would say, Salmanu minni. The Salman is part of me. These were glad tidings to them. So from here, we understand that those that are close to you and you have muhabbat and love for, is nothing wrong with at least singing their praises. How many of us now will enumerate the good qualities of their wives? Hardly. Or the wife will talk anything good about the husband. So here we learn that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he would mention about Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and here look at this as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So to make it a habit, we tell the wife also that certain things, alhamdulillah, you do for me, appreciate, jazakallah khair. I tell others also that she has these beautiful habits within her, alhamdulillah. This will enhance her muhabbat also. And you're making shukr to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah will increase it. And for her to do the same. But today you find in the house only complain. There's no good word to be said. What great glad tidings for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, apart from the glad tidings of her being in Jannah. Apart from the glad tidings of her being in Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has guaranteed that she will also be his wife in Jannah. This means that even after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she will continue to live her life in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she will pass away having secured the pleasure and happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because she's given the glad tidings. You will be my wife in Jannah. So to reach there, it means her worldly life after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be in such a condition that she will secure the pleasure of Allah and die in that condition for her to qualify to be the wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannah. Furthermore, the deep love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha can be gauged from the fact that seeing her in Jannah was the means of death becoming easy for him. It wasn't like you and I, we'll just tell the wife just to make her happy that I saw you in a dream. But this was true. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sadiq al-Amin, the most truthful, the most trustworthy. So he saw this in Jannah. He said, really, it gives me ease to know that you will be with me in Jannah. So from here we can gauge also that how the wife should be to the husband. That really his desire is that we are together in Jannah. Rather now she's making dua that, Ya Allah, in Jannah I don't want to be with this man. I want to be with somebody else. So then we can understand now how far we are gone from the original Sunnah. This is not the cry of our elders, and especially our Shaykh Azam Abdul Hamid Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuhu. The Hazrat says, bring deen in our home, bring deen in our life. We have an outer appearance of deen, but the deen is not coming in the home. The deen is not coming into our lives, not coming into our lives, our families, our children. We just have an outlook of deen, but all the concepts in our life and all the things we're doing in our life is all kufr concepts. And in that now we're looking for happiness. Do this for the wife, she'll be happy. Do that for the husband, maybe he'll be happy. Buy this, go here, do that, some entertainment. Only bringing misery upon misery. And we're opening more doors of entertainment and more doors of luxury. And we know we can't close it after that. If you're going to open a certain door, a certain lifestyle, it is impossible now to downgrade. There's going to be depression after that. If now the family is used to a certain luxury item, then to say, no, sorry, we can't have it. But we know from there, won't stop there, it goes to the next stage. And to the next stage. And dunya won't stop there, it just increases, something new is coming out now. So it's just going to continue. And a person will never be happy. The sunnah dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Qanni'ni from qana'at. Qana'at means contentment. Ya Allah, give me contentment in my rozi. Nobody's content. Just to make more, make more, and make more. Make more to do this. And nobody's just chasing. Before you know, Malakul Maut is coming and you're gone. Really, what is ours? Really, really, really. What is ours? Is what we've eaten, what we have drunk, what we have worn, what we've sent ahead to Akhirat. Besides, whatever is in the bank belongs to the Iz. Whether you see the light of day to enjoy it, Allah knows best. All that investment and all the money I have there, whether really I want to spend it, Allah knows best. But I'm still looking for the next one. And what a dhoka, what a deception, whether I really want to benefit from it. No guarantee. Whether my children will benefit from it, no guarantee. But I'm so much of effort. That's why the malfuz of Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is so apt. Because Hakim Sahib mentioned Rahmatullah Ali, don't make your dunya, your world, your home so comfortable and so beautiful that the heart doesn't want to leave it. I just want to live here. Love my home, and I love this, and I love my car, and I love my family. Don't want to leave from here. They just make it comfortable enough. Comfortable enough, so I'm comfortable enough to plan and to design and to make effort for my akhirat. But deen has to come into my life. What is now, we're making the effort of deen. So what is happening, the effort is increasing, but deen is not increasing. Very, very importantly. The Hazrat says, when we are speaking also, we say, this is the barakat of my Shaykh. Oh, this is the barakat of spending time in i'tikaf. Oh, barakat of tasawwuf. Oh, this is the barakat of da'wat. He says, no. Da'wat, tabligh, ta'aleem, tazkiyah is not bigger than deen. See, this is the barakat of deen. Not the barakat of this. This is the barakat of deen. What's happening now, we're making the departments of deen bigger than deen also. We're making the shaykh also bigger than deen also. It's only one wasila. Tabligh is one wasila, one medium. Deen is the main thing. And Hazrat gives so many examples for us. It's stuck, it's open in our faces. Person did 4 months, he did 40 days, sat in i'tikaf every year. Oh, went for Umrah upon Umrah, and in i'tikaf, alhamdulillah, in the path of Allah, alhamdulillah, for 40 days, for 4 months, for 10 days, i'tikaf, sitting on the floor, having meals, deen came. And then when you return home, the first meal, back on the table. What happened to the deen? So we're doing the effort of deen, but deen is coming. So one is now the effort of deen. So the effort is something else and deen is something else. We say ilmud deen, the knowledge of deen. So a person having knowledge of deen doesn't mean he has deen. Deen is something else. He has the knowledge of deen. You have the knowledge of jannat. Doesn't mean you're in jannat. There's the whole effort behind it. So many a times we feel now, Hazrat says also, I'm wearing now, just like my shaykh, kurta, topi, two-piece, whatever it may be. So, I'm already there. He says, no. That doesn't mean you mustn't wear it. Yes, you must wear it. But the deen has to come into your life. into my wife, into my family, into my children, the real deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the deen that is now found in the environment, the original deen. Now how many of the masturat are really listening to what is the original deen? They don't want to listen about it. We too also now, we listen, but you can compromise a little bit here. You can take it easy there, but everybody is doing this. So nobody wants to hear what is the real deen. When they hear it also, they say, too heavy. So take it easy now. We like to do the certain things. So why? Because we haven't tasted deen. When you taste real deen, genuine deen, and the enjoyment of deen, Hazrat explains also, he said when you really get the taste of deen, and he used to say, Subhanallah, will become more tasty than your best meal also. But make this be, Allah, what should you give me in Jannat? He said, really will relish, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. See, you know, feeling that the way I love my Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that all enjoyment is in the name of Allah. And everything in dunya is getting the enjoyment from the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But now I'm just now living my life on the crumbs. Just on the crumbs. Allama Rumi rahimahullah, we learned from Hazrat the example that that ant climbed up the vineyard and you could smell that leaf from far. So Hazrat says also, we go to madrasa. How many years in madrasa? Maktab madrasa. 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. And a boy goes to his class, others 5-6 years over there, already 12 years. Then he goes on, maybe inshallah becomes an alim, 18 years, another 6 years, 18 years of his life he has given to the deen of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, 18 years of his life, but deen hasn't come still. Still can't make it for Fajr Namaz. 18 years he has given, but still can't make it for the basic farz that Allah Ta'ala wants from him. What happened? How come the farz is not coming still in his life? So much effort. So the effort is there, but the reality of the deen is not coming into our life. As I say, just like that ant that comes up that vineyard, and he could smell that fragrance of that leaf, and he makes it to the leaf finally. Makes it to the leaf and takes one bite. It is the juice of that leaf, it says, Subhanallah. This is where I'm going to take out my life now. His entire life comes out of just a few leaves over there. The same with us also. Little bit dunya, we taste it here and there. Hey, this is life now. This is life now, I want to go this destination, this holiday, that holiday. Who told you about this? Which kitab, which hadith sharif? Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Did he encourage ummah doesn't have food on the table right now, and there's still so much of wastage and squandering, and still looking for more dunya, whereas certain part of the ummah, the dunya is completely finished. And how aptly the one Ali mentioned also, that do you call this returning to rubble and losing so many shaheed, do you call this victory? Do you call this victory? He says, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum's mindset and their perspective was changed by Shariat. Going to the value system of dunya, this is failure. It's a loss. Your house is gone, family is gone, you lost men also, and your house. He said, but Sahaba Ikram's perception and the understanding of worldly life was different. We are different people, because we have deen in our life. So to return to a rubble, and so many have been martyred in the path of Allah. So if victory was numbers, if victory was based on numbers, then they say, Mujahideen won. Kam min fiyatin qalilatin. Allah Pak says, comes from numbers, how many a small group overpowered a large group? Bi-idhnillah, with the permission of Allah. They did it. So that's victory, that. The eyes of Allah is victory. And losing lives, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَتَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِرُوا فِي سَبِيلًا وَبَلَحْيَاءٌ. Don't say they are dead, the martyrs, they are alive. They by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and they're getting sustenance. Win situation. And hostages that they got back, prisoners, etc. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. The person who spares a life is as if he spared the life of entire humanity. Given life to entire humanity. So they gave 3 and they received 90 more or less. So you save one life, Quran says that you have actually given life to entire humanity. And those that return to their homes, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, those that have kufr in their lives, in reality, they are not returning home, their final abode is Jahannam. So it's only a win situation for a believer. So our whole value system is different. What we've adopted now, the value system of the kuffar, so we're looking for enjoyment in there. And we're seeing to what level now, that the children have come, the women have come. Right? Whereas before, we know when it came to the older generation, now we say new generation. Women are educated. Right? They know how to do things in dunya. We let them do it, we educated them, we gave them education, whether for the detriment or betterment, we can see what is happening right now. Which man is happy? Which man is happy that I put my wife on the road in the car, then my life became easy? Did it become any more easy? More complicated. More complicated, and no woman will run the car on 50 rand petrol for the whole week. Say 50 rand petrol. We're running two cars now. So we thought now we'll get more busy, make more money, and she'll be on the road, she'll do the work, we'll have a good life. Where's the good life? There's no good life. The good life is the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This is the real deen. We have to come back to deen, we have to embrace it. Now to bring them back, to make them understand, there's a difficulty. And we know the reality of before, my dear brothers. Today we are having cases coming, 7, 8 years, 10 years, to dissolve the marriage. In the old days, whether it was right or wrong, what the father would say, janaza will come out from there. Right, janaza would come out from there. Which young man is ready for? It's another topic actually now. Talking about Aisha radiallahu anha. Which young man is ready for nikah? Nobody taught him how to be a husband. He came with his sleeping habits and his bad habits. She doesn't know better also. But in the old days we know that that woman knew that marriage is about sabr. Look after this man for 20 years, 25 years, all his nakharas, all his habits, everything. Finally he comes into his senses after 20 years. He realizes, you know what, I can't live without this woman. For the next 20 years she becomes a queen. For the next 20 years what he tells her, maaf karjo. Please make maaf, how I treated you, please make maaf. Now whatever you want. Hazrat says, now when you're hitting your 60, now you transfer the property you want to her. When you leave the business, you the 63 hand it over to the children. Now it's no more like that. She doesn't have the sabr, he doesn't have the sabr. And before we never hear that the masurat are using now certain things as a tool against the husband, no intimacy, no this, no that. Now it's punishment. Before it was never like that. Before there was muhabbat. Even no matter what the man was, they say, Aprum Anasche, is my man this. I got married to him, whatever it is. They were simple, but in their simpleness there was intelligence. What intelligence? They want him, they want the children, they want their families, and they were treated as queens thereafter. Now, unfortunately, we say it, that in the West, what's their value system for women? You know, sell a bar of soap, put a picture there. You know, sell a car, put a picture there. You know, sell one chocolate, put a picture there. Right? You know, sell some clothing, make a model with it. That's how they reduced her value. She became a commodity. Became a commodity, cheap commodity. And she thinks she's progressive. She thinks she's progressive. Right, we need some staff in the plane to serve people food, put her there also. Here Sharia says that serve one man and become the queen. There they say serve 300 men in the plane and become a nokri, become one servant. But she feels now, that's my pride. But where in this life? Whole value system has changed. Even the men also, we don't understand now. What's the true value system of deen? Where her place is, how she'll enjoy herself within the home, bringing up the children, doing feminine things. Khair, but we can see the love that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had with Aisha radiallahu anha, that he's making dua, Aisha must be with me in Jannah. Aisha must be with me in Jannah. And how she enjoyed, we can imagine now her expression, O Nabi of Allah, I will be with you, meaning I will have khatima bil khair. I will die upon iman also. So from here we can understand the deep love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha can be gauged from the fact that seeing her in Jannah was a means of death becoming easy for him. So the point over here, my dear brothers, for us right now, just living in my home, is it a means of easiness for me? With my children, my wife, or is just, ya Allah, I hope this day just passes through. And I'm not even thinking about qabr and akhirat with her also right now. Just want to get through this marriage. Considering that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam perceived comfort from knowing that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha will be with him in Jannah, we can imagine how pleased he was with her. How pleased? It's a question for all of us. How many times in our marriage thus far have we told our wives that I'm happy with you? Has it opportunity come any time yet? Or will she tell the husband also that I'm so happy that I married you? Or you tell her. We're scared to even say it also. In case now, it'll backfire. I might say too soon, then tomorrow something else will happen. So we're just holding back also. Can't say a good word or a good praise, whatever it may be. This can only happen when a wife conducts herself correctly and keeps her husband happy. If you see this is a masturat, they say, yeah, he must behave first. He must come right first, then we'll treat him like a king. Hazrat says that, oh Ben, you treat him like a king, automatically he'll treat you like a queen. Treat him like a knocker, like a boy, then he'll treat you like one domestic. Treat him. He's bringing, alhamdulillah, the groceries home, he's working the whole day, he's doing whatever he can to the best of his ability. He's not putting the money in his pocket. Alhamdulillah, you can see what comforts you're enjoying right now. And nobody's perfect, you'll have your shortcomings. But here, we can understand that the temperament in the home and temperature depends on the wife. If she can have a little bit of sabr and carry on being chirpy and happy, but it's short. Everything is short-lived. We want things quickly, quickly, quickly. But the tartib of dunya is not like that. The tartib of dunya is for 20 years, 25 years, you've got to make sabr. Now we can see before, a man will make his money, his millions maybe when he's 60, then he came to 50, then he came to 40, then he came to 30s, now he's in 20s. So by 30 everybody is bored now. What must do? We flew everywhere, we ate everything, we did everything. What's left now? There's no more enjoyment. There's no more enjoyment in anything now. Now we're looking for avenues to do this, to do that, something new will hit the market. They will go into that, whether it's fitna, whether it's halal, whether it's haram, whether it's sharam, whether it's beh sharam. We're going to do it now because we're bored of life. But ask Ben, how's your Quran Sharif tilawat? Is it fluent? Ramadan is coming. You should be finishing at least, your one khatam for the year. Now Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says, two khatams is wajib upon a Hanafi Muslim. Two khatams is, won't say wajib, but is the haqq of the Quran Sharif. One khatam you have 11 months, and one khatam in the month of Ramadan. So Ben, have you come to the end of your first khatam? It's already Rajab then Sha'aban. For the men also. Minimum, at least now one khatam I should be finishing now. Now Ramadan, now I'm ready for my next khatam. But we know what we're planning ahead now. What we're planning, whether we're planning our Quran tilawat, our surahs, etc. Otherwise, if a husband is displeased or frustrated with his wife, he will think, I'm stuck with her. I hope I won't be stuck with her there as well. So this will be in his mind also. So here already now, he's being getting his advanced punishment in dunya already. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, 3 days prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, O Ahmad, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to you out of honor and regard for you, and exclusively for you. Allah is asking regarding that which Allah is more aware of than yourself. He's asking you, how are you feeling? Allah is asking the beloved, the Habib, how are you feeling? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I find myself, O Jibreel, concerned. Find myself? He forgot about his physical illness. It was now more mental, the speaker in his mind and the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. What was that? The natural concern a person undergoes in such a condition which is not contrary to being pleased with the decree of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. On the second day, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam again came down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the same conversation ensued. Allah is asking, how are you feeling? On the third day, the same thing happened. However, this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, I find myself concerned and grieved, O Jibreel. On this occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended together with an angel who is in charge of 70,000 angels. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then said, O Ahmad, this is the angel of death, seeking permission to enter upon you. He has never sought permission from anyone before you, nor will he seek permission from anyone after you. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then permitted him to enter after securing the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. All this is happening in the Mubarak room and home of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is next to the road house. The entire scenario was being played out over there. On entering, he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Ahmad, indeed Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent me to you, and he has commanded me to obey you in whatever you instruct me. If you instruct me to extract your ruh, your soul, I will extract it. And if you instruct me to leave it, I will leave it. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then said, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is desirous of meeting you. Allah wants to meet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Upon hearing this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Malakul Maud, O angel of death, proceed with what you have been commanded. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then said, peace be upon you, Ya Rasulullah. This is the end of my treading upon the earth. This is the last time I will come now with wahi and to converse with you. You are the only need that I had on earth. And now he has come to the end of it. Inshallah, we'll start next week, the final day, and raising of the curtain, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq to prepare for maut, before maut, which is a reality. And how beautifully one of the brothers mentioned also, that there are two lives. Yeah? Two lives. We hear the word death, and we get afraid. He says, we have two lives. This is one life, and there's another life. This is one life, and there's also a life. So it's not like you're dead and it's over. It's another life altogether. So the death is just a transfer to get you from this world into that world. But that world depends now on how you fare in this world. That's why we want to take stock every day, Ya Allah. What am I here for? And Hazrat is repeating this over and over again. Think, sit down. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِيزُكُمْ بِوَاحِدًا Say, O Nabi of Allah, I advise you just to do one thing. I advise you just to do one thing. Ayat continues and it ends with أَنْتَ تَفَكَّرُوا That use your mind. Think a little bit. What am I doing all this for? Do I have to do so much? Do I have to invest so much of my time and my mind, my resources, just to make more, just to make more, just to make more? But end of the day, I'm going empty. All whatever I have right now, how much am I going to eat? It doesn't even belong to me, just on my name only. What am I going to enjoy in Akhirah? What I sent ahead. That is why one king asked one Buzruf, he said, how come we dislike maut, but we know that things are better there? Things are better in Jannah. The fruits are better, the food is better, accommodation is better, everything. We can't even imagine it. But how come the heart doesn't desire to go there? So the reply he gave was, أَمَّرَتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ وَخَرَبْتُمْ آخِرَتَكُمْ That you have built your dunya and you destroyed your akhirat. Nothing to go to. We are afraid to go because you know what you've done over here. So we didn't even send anything ahead right now. We didn't even send anything ahead to say, yeah, okay, alhamdulillah, I've sent something ahead. And then to Hazrat says, that only monetary. وَجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Allah Ta'ala says, you must strive with your wealth and yourself. Both. Because the ummah has come to a level now, very easy to strive with wealth. We just give masjid, madrasa, here, there, sponsor. Let's say, I want you. This is a complete deal. Not only your wealth. Sahaba Ikram, how they understood the ayat? Both. They gave their wealth and they gave their time and health. The path of Allah, let's say, I'm pleased with them. Allah Ta'ala give us sufi to understand also, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.